Tom Birch is president of the National Vietnam Veterans Coalition. Tom, give us your perspective on the apparent decision now by the Clinton administration to lift the trade embargo on Vietnam.
Now that the misnomer is no decision has been made. What happened is the White House senior advisors put out a trial balloon to see how much reaction there would be at the White House to see if they could get by with lifting the embargo or not. They thought they'd send them kind of a trial balloon by kind of pre-announcing it. I have it from the absolute best authority that the President of the United States has not, in fact, made a decision on this either way. Now, what we believe is going to happen here is between mid-February and February the 21st, he will announce a decision. And my best intelligence is he's going to do a partial lifting. He's going to do another step, but not fully lift the embargo.
We understand that there are so many companies now in the U.S. positioned and ready to do business in Vietnam that the clout is such it's almost overwhelming to any grassroots groups that try to resist this.
Well, it is because of the money those folks throw into a campaign like that. You know, they have all these high-paid Washington lobbyists. They make campaign contributions to senatorial campaigns and presidential campaigns. And, of course, there's an overall interest to create jobs, and these people come to the White House and say we can create jobs and get the American economy going. So, you know, all that, those things are very good reasons to only do it. If you didn't have the fact that you had over 10,000 secondhand reports that there are a lot of Americans over there, and over 1,500 witness accounts. Now, we don't believe that they're being physically held in Vietnam anymore. We believe that the Vietnamese Army has moved them into San Nui Province in Laos, and they're still under North Vietnamese Guard, but technically not on the land in Vietnam. And if it wasn't for this matter of honor, of our country's honor, it would be fine. You could lift that embargo, but it's the country's honor involved and these live guys that's involved. That's why we have to hold out till they get it, because they've dealt with all these remains problems, and certainly this embargo has made them respond to us, but not a light, live man. And they've got some of them. We've got to get them out now, or you're abandoning them, and that's what the issue is, a matter of honor versus money.
Tom, you see through this. I see through it. How do we get the American people and the politicians to see that whenever there are reports that, well, we've conducted the largest search ever for missing Americans, and we've turned up nothing, or we've turned up a few remains at a crash site, we've recovered some bones. Why is the emphasis not upon getting back the live Americans, of making the forthright demand to Hanoi, turn over the live ones first?
Well, I tell you what, you're asking just the proper question. What's happening, of course, the Defense Intelligence Agency has an office over there in Hanoi right now, but instead of going to the sites where it used to be all these reports about live Americans being held in the prisons. The prisons are there. Some of our people have gone there and taken a look at them. It's just exactly like the witnesses described them, down to how many bunks there are, where the medical dispensary is, where the cistern is, or whatever. The descriptions are exactly accurate. They're even found some graffiti that indicates that, you know, at least some Christians were in these locations. And our Defense Intelligence Agency won't set foot in one of those prisons. They want to go to these crash sites. Now, very recently, I confronted a general who's in charge of this program, General Ryan. I said, well, they got some caves out there. There are numerous reports that north of Hanoi that these men have been held in and may still be held in. Have you gone out there? And he says, no, Wes. I said, will you do it? And he said he would, and he didn't. And, of course, this is one of the off-limit areas that the Vietnamese have, and they've let them get away with it. And
they're more interested in
protecting their previous bureaucratic decisions and getting on with the lifting embargo for big business than getting to the bottom of it like sleuths ought to do.
Okay, well, now, wait a minute. Back up a moment. You said this is one of the off-limits areas. The Vietnamese have publicly proclaimed, have they not, that all of their country is open to anyone who wants to search.
And what they say and what they do is something else. Now, I'll give you another off-limits area that you know about. There's a considerable number of reports that one-time Americans have been held under Ho Chi Minh's tomb in Hanoi. Now, even though that they have let some people go in to see a few rooms in that, that's a very extensive complex, and they never let anybody go completely through there. And yet there we have over 7 eyewitness accounts in the last 5 years that live Americans were to be detained against their will in an underground complex. That's another off-limits area. Yes, they let people come in and look at a few rooms, but not the complex, you understand.
Do you expect some sort of announcement tomorrow then, and what do you expect it will consist of?
There will not announcement tomorrow. It will not be an announcement tomorrow. The earliest this is going to be any kind of decision is next week. And actually, I think it's going might be a little beyond that.
What are veterans groups in Washington and around the country doing now to counter this?
We are absolutely pounding the White House with phone calls and letters telling the president, you better not lift the embargo on Vietnam till we get the answers on our live Americans, because this is a matter of our country's honor, and if you do it, we will never forget that you did it, and we certainly won't forget that you did it in 1996. And that's what we're telling him. That's what we need everybody to do, to let the White House know there's a political price that they will pay if they forget this issue and these Americans before we know the answers in favor of corporate profits, that we will never forget the politicians responsible for doing that, and we will see that they do not serve anymore.
Should this be an issue in the 1994 congressional elections?
I think it's going to be an issue in 1994. The people that voted to give up our country's honor for corporate profits, I think it's going to be a major issue in September. And I think it's going to be a major issue also because there's a reform government coming into power in Vietnam. And these people want to deal with the issue. And should an American ever come out of there as a prisoner of war, all these people that were so quick to abandon them will be in political jeopardy, and they should be.
Tom, I've got to run here very quickly, but is perhaps a boycott of certain companies in order?
On a selective basis, you know, you have to orchestrate those things properly. We do that, and when the Vietnam veterans in their locality do that, we ask people to support it. But we target people, make sure we have our facts straight when we do that. We can't take on every company wants to do business, but we do the ones that, you know, it makes sense because of what their activities are and what their size is. And we ask people to back us up on this one. We need it. We need them to contact the White House, and we need them to boycott when we call for a boycott.
And that's what people should be doing right now.
That's what we need them to do right now.
Okay. Tom, we thank you very much. Let me move to another phone. Stay with me.
The last part of that question.
That you would prefer to keep it?
Daniel, for the folks who don't understand who you are or what your organization is, we're on the air right now. Bring us up to speed very quickly who you are, what your past is, and what your organization is, and why we're talking today.
Chuck, I was a prisoner of war in Vietnam for 6 years, 1967 to 1973. I came back from the war, commanded a couple of ships, the USS Niagara Falls, the aircraft carrier Lexington, and came to Capitol Hill, where I represented the Navy Marine Corps for 3 years on Capitol Hill. And it was in that job that I saw top-secret satellite photography that convinced me we'd abandoned prisoners in Southeast Asia. And I left the Navy in 1982, founded the American Defense Institute, and we've been working continually to return our prisoners from Southeast Asia. And it looks like we're running out of time.
Now, Captain Red McDaniels, you know, Lawrence Eagleburger knows, a number of other people know, that there were men left behind, many men. How many do they finally admit were left? Is there any number?
The numbers that came out of the Senate Select Committee on POW/MIAs was 244 in Vietnam, but that does not include Laos, where we lost 569 men and not one ever returned from Laos, and plus 87 in Cambodia. So we're talking roughly a universe of about 1,000 men.
How many do you think could still be alive?
A couple hundred could be living as we speak. The numbers are fairly consistent. Some have died, of course, but, you know, over the last 20 years, 25 years, but I believe some are living. In fact, we have satellite photography as recent as 1992 that showed men using a four-letter identifier on top of a prison. Captain Z-Rex and Captain Peter Mathis. One guy spelled his name out on top of a prison, and we've never gone to check that out, and that was July 1992.
Why have we not done something about this? Why?
We declared him dead April 12, 1973. Nixon declared him dead to deal with Watergate politically, to put the war behind him. Once he weathered Watergate, he was going back and get the prisoners. Nixon was run out of office, and there's been a cover-up ever since, because Nixon didn't have a chance to go back and get them, and we declared them all dead, and so we get a living sighting or satellite photography showing living Americans, and we don't check that out. We deal in remains, which shows
yes.
Progress.
All right, now why is it that the Clinton administration, and here you got Bill Clinton, the war protester, and let's not belabor that point, but here's a guy who certainly should say, okay, let's get to the bottom of this. Here's a man who had no hand in it, no egos to protect, okay?
That's correct. He's listening to big business, putting business ahead of fighting men that we sent to war and who became captive.
It's tragic.
You know, you're dealing with human lives, and there's nothing more tragic than this. The cover-up has been going through six presidents now, and it continues as we speak, and it looks like there's no logic to propping up a communist government except to bury the secret that we left them there. And that's why we're working so hard to prop up the Vietnamese communist. There's no other logic to it except that we're trying to bury the secret.
Okay, now look. You say he's listening to big business, which would be the David Gergen Rockefeller-type crowd, right?
Yes.
All right.
And the oil companies, people who want to drill for oil. We also want to drill for oil,
yep.
But all we want is an accounting in between. Once we get the accounting, we will forgive the Vietnamese for keeping them. We'll forgive the politicians who left them there. We just want to get an accounting, because once we lift the trade embargo, we lose all of our leverage.
All right. Now, what do we have to do to say to the U.S. government, just tell us the truth, just be forthright, we're willing to tolerate the fact that we've been lied to for, what, 19 years?
Oh, that's correct, yes.
Okay.
We've been lied to for 20 years since since we declared them all dead.
Okay, we're willing to forget the fact that you've lied to us.
Yes.
We're willing to forget all of the atrocities. Just tell us where the guys are and bring the ones home that want to come home and do it now. That's all we ask.
Exactly. Give us a true accounting of the men, what happened to the men, where they were sent, who died. If they're living, we want them back. If not, where are their remains?
Now, how do we get that done?
We've got about 48 hours to get it done. I think the trade embargo will probably be lifted on Friday of this week, and so we don't have much time. It's going to take phone calls flooding the White House opinion line and faxes going in, but that's the only way we can stop it, I think. And all the veterans are in our camp. The veterans are very much opposed to lifting the trade embargo, but Clinton is not listening to the veterans. He's listening to big business.
All right, now, I would be more than happy for you to use this network, which is a pretty mighty network, to get this done. And I've got an idea that I'm going to cook up with you here on the break that I'll come back and talk to you about.
Okay.
But what I'd like you also to do is get out any phone numbers or fax numbers that you want to give out. I'm going to tell people to go scramble for pen and paper.
Okay.
And phone numbers, fax numbers, that's what it's going to take right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. You do that if you would. You get those numbers ready. Ladies and gentlemen, get your pen and paper. We'll do a short break, and then Captain Red McDaniel and I will be right back. Don't go away. Stay with us.
How much break do we need? I need to go. How much break will we have?
We're going to have 2 minutes. You want to go dig?
I will. Be right back.
All right. All right. We are moving. Let me just tell you what's going on. Captain Red McDaniels, we're on the air. Are you there?
Yes, Chuck, listening.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. First of all, Captain Red McDaniel is going to give you whatever numbers he's got handy. And we're going to ask you to get busy. Now, I don't want you to call Western Union yet, because it is not set up yet, but we just had the bright idea. And we're going to talk to our contacts at Western Union and set up a special situation where you'll be able to call Western Union and send an opiniongram, and they'll have that all set up. It'll take about an hour. And then maybe, Captain Red, you and I can touch base again yet today.
Okay.
And then, and maybe even on the air yet today, if we can get Western Union moving. They move awfully fast, these folks. And then what we can do tomorrow is we can also pop it during the day tomorrow.
Okay, good.
And see what we can get moving, and then we'll let the press services know what's going on, simply that we want the men back.
All we want is an accounting, Chuck, just an accounting of the men. That's not an unreasonable request.
No.
We all know the Vietnamese will not be more forthcoming, as Kerry and McCain say.
Okay. What numbers have you, and what do you want folks to do right now?
I've got two numbers. I need to make phone calls and send faxes to the White House.
All right.
202-456-1414. That's a White House phone line.
Okay, what number do they get at that? 202?
456-1414.
Okay, what number do they reach when they call that number?
It'll be White House Opinion Line.
Is that the number? I thought it was 1111 or something.
That's good also. That's a good number, too.
Okay, but 202-456-1414.
Correct. And the fax line is 202-456-2461.
2461.
Yes.
Okay, 202-456-2461 is fax. And voice is 202-456-1414.
Correct.
All right, Captain Red McDaniels, we're going to do it one more time for the people who just said, one more time, Chuck, one more time. 202, this is the voice now, 202-456.